Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm so excited to be starting off a new season with Lauren Mack, interior designer, DIY expert, and host of several HGTV television shows. I think one of the things I thought about when I was thinking, who should I lead with to begin the new season? It was kind of a no-brainer after listening to Lauren. I felt like when I was listening to it, I was getting excited. I was getting a little emotional. I was ready to walk out the door and be like, let's get started today. And I think Lauren just has that infectious personality of just making you feel like you can do anything that I wanted to share with everybody as we go through this new interview series. So I'm excited for us all to dig in. We're going to learn about Lauren's journey into interior design, how her mother, she describes as the original Martha Stewart, and really, how does she get it all done? How does she truly live her dream job? And we'll be listening to that today. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Mood Board Podcast. I'm very excited today to have Lauren Mack on the show. She is an interior designer, DIY expert, and HGTV television host. So, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So just for, you know, I always say this every time, for first time listeners, how would you describe yourself? Because you clearly wear a lot of hats.
Well, thank you. And this head is big, so thank God I can do that. I am an interior designer and a lifestylist, but I'm also a television host, and I've done a lot of hosting for television. So many of you may have seen me on, it started out on Trading Spaces years ago. Rated show. That was my very first show. And then I've done a lot of different things. Homemade Simple on the Oprah Winfrey Network, Drill Team on A&E, Design Star on Discovery Plus, and a lot of HGTV stuff. So that's where I'm at now. And I love it.
All right. I'm excited to see what else is also on the horizon. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, where did your love for interior design really start? You know, I read a little brief insert talking about how you said your mother was Martha Stewart before that was even a thing. Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Yes, girl. Well, so I am a little Black girl from Oklahoma City. Okay. And we didn't have a lot of access in the early 80s. Yes. You know, there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, we didn't have a big city lifestyle. So my mom, she just was really creative. And I think it was born out of a need for necessity, as opposed to just like DIYing. In those days, it was really DIY. My mom, she sewed all of our clothes. She made all of our decorations, all of our birthdays, party stuff, like every costume, every, you know, every event, my mom made everything, you know, Christmas tree decorations and Easter dresses and just everything, you know? So I just grew up watching her in the kitchen stuffing and, you know, doing and making little things. And I just loved it. And so that's where I really kind of was born.
But what made you, and what part of all that made you want to say, I'm going to go to school for interior design?
Well, you know what? I didn't even know that that was a possibility, right? Like when I was graduating high school, I really had my plan was to be a graffiti artist. Okay. We had a bunch of exchange students come to Oklahoma and when I was in high school from Europe. They were from Belgium. They were from Macedonia. They were from Paris, you know, and they were so exotic and cool. And they were all artists. I went to an art high school. And so, and they loved, you know, graffiti. And I had this boyfriend that was much older than me in my senior year. And he was a graph artist. So between my friend circle and my boyfriend, I was like, I'm going to be a muralist. I'm going to paint the streets of Europe. And my mom was like, excuse me. No, you're not. You're going to college.
She's like, that's not going to pay the bills.
No, you know, and that was not a safe choice. And so, you know, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And like, I had only seen interior design on like designing women, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That was the example, right?
Yeah. And like, I was like, well, what am I going to do? And like, I just had this, you know, innate sort of sense of like space and colors and you know, and like how spaces should feel and function. And so I was like, well, maybe I could kind of do that. And like, I looked in college, I was like, how can I take my love of art with like kind of the thing that I know what I'm kind of doing and and put it together. And I went to the college that I, you know, could kind of choose in my neighborhood. Girl, I hadn't even applied for college. Let me make that really clear. Like, I was like, college, what? And so when I went to look at the local college, they had an interior design degree. And I was like, all right, I'll try that. And, you know, like in high school, I wasn't exactly the most studious. I went to a international baccalaureate high school, but I was kind of checked out. I was into the streets. Okay. Life of the party.
It's the graffiti. Right? You were going to be globetrotting through Europe. Yes. Okay.
Honey, I still have nightmares about like not finishing high school because like I was in the streets.
We all have those nightmares.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. That's a relief. And so I was like, all right, I'll just go to college for interior design. And the first day I went to school, I was like, this is what I was supposed to be doing. Mm. Yeah. So it just clicked for me then. And like, I was very good at college because I liked it and I wanted to study that stuff. So,
but you took a leap of faith and it paid off.
It did. It's yes.
I love your face. You're like, did it? It did.
Did it? You know, so, I look back, I'm like, I could have been a dentist. That would have been a real solid bet. That military ain't looking so bad. I would have been checked out now. I would have been retired. I'd have had a pension, a 401k.
You're anyhow, still, yeah, up. You're still at the top of your game, though. You're there still doing very well.
Yes, yes.
So let's talk about this because it's interesting that you were talking about also, you know, being a DIY expert. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you feel like DIYs get such a bad rap, you know, and how people, you know, really always think of it as like the knickknack stuff, but they never really associate it with being a luxury good or something that, you know, can get you the look for less. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So when I personally think of DIY, I think of like the two extremes. So it's either like popsicle sticks and, you know, Elmer's glue, right? Or it's like, I need a tool belt. I need all these power tools. And like, I'm going to build a house. Right. So there's nowhere like quite in the middle. And so I consider myself a luxury redesigner.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I love that term.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to like change the narrative because, you know, it's been so holly hobby for so long. And then it's also been so like extreme for so long that I feel like people who are like you and I are in the middle and we're like, well, you know, I'm not here to crochet nothing.
No, and I don't have the time.
I don't have the time. But I also want to improve myself, my home, and I want to tailor it to my to the way that I like it and the way that I want it. And so when I think of DIY for what I do, it's really about creating tailored things for my home that, you know, fit my space and fit my style and fit my liking. So that could be just as simple as taking something and spray painting it a different color because it matches your decor, you know? But I really, even beyond that, part of the act of DIYing for me is the sustainable act of it. I love to rescue things from a landfill as opposed, you know, and we live in this disposable society where people are just throwing things away, or designers will come in and say, everything must go. We have to buy everything brand new, you know? And I just am like, what? And maybe that's like my trauma response to growing up poor.
But, right. You're like, we can save some of this. We should look it over. We can give it a second life.
Why would you do that? Yeah. Like, don't throw it away, you know? But I also just feel like, you know, as it's part of my responsibility as a good human to like reuse things in ways that are unexpected. And I found such a cool community of people on through my socials that really appreciate that. And I recognize that, you know, there's a generation of people who like you and I are like, hey, hold up, we don't gotta throw this away necessarily. No. Like, let's try to reinvent it, you know?
Yeah. So that's where it is. Second life.
Yeah.
Love it.
Plus, it's like, this is the thing. I mean, it's the challenge for me of saving money is like my whole thing, girl. Like, I don't care how much money I will ever get. I'm like, did you spend money on that? We could have reused it.
I call it a bargain jargon moment. I like a good deal. And I'm like, okay, now we're talking.
Yes.
So let's talk about, because you have so many cool experiences on your resume. So we're going to get into a few of them. What was it like really being an HGTV TV host on Design Star Next Gen? What was that experience like for you?
Okay. It was insane. I still am like, what the hell am I doing here? Okay. I didn't know who my co-host, my co-judge was going to be. Yeah. First of all, let's just talk about the fact that I was on Design Star. Like, what the heck am I doing?
Exactly. Let's take that in. Let's soak that in.
I was like, whoa, this is insane. And what a great like freshman show for me on the network. That was my very first show on HGTV. Yeah. And there I was judging others, sitting in place of judgment. The Lord knows my heart. So that was insane. And then they didn't tell me who my co-judge was going to be. So I arrived the first day and I'm at the hotel, like we're all staying at this really lovely resort. And I had just had a baby. Okay. Right. So I'm sitting there with my stroller.
Why not?
Yeah. I brought the baby with me. I'm sitting there with my stroller, like hanging out at the hotel, and up drives this black SUV. And I'm like, oh, that's gotta be somebody. This is LA, you know? So anybody. Who's in there? And I see this bag come out of the SUV and it's got the initials J-A initials like written in them. And I'm like, ooh, this is somebody. Like, who is this? And then I see Jonathan Adler jump out the car.
That's so wild.
Okay, is my design like inspo, right? He is you can tell by my house. Look at these colors, like Jonathan
Adler. Yes, exactly. I'm feeling the vibes.
Thank you, thank you. And I was like, aha. And I thought, what is he doing here? Like, I forgot what the hell I was doing there.
Right? He can't be meeting with me. Jonathan Adler.
I am not on that level. And it's him. And I'm like, holy shit, it's Jonathan Adler. Like, what is he doing here? Oh my God. And then it hit me. Girl, he's here for you. And you were here for him. Y'all here together. And I thought, what the hell is happening? Like, it's a pitch-free moment. This is it. I can die and go to heaven.
You have arrived.
I have arrived.
Well, on that note, let's take a break.
Thank you so much for listening to the Mood Board Podcast. My mom's kicking off spring and summer series all around the series of home renovations, and boxes are stacked up all around the living room. This podcast has listeners in over 13 countries and almost has 10,000 listens. So thank you for actually clicking on this podcast, and make sure to share it with all your friends and family. Okay, Mom, I'm done now.
And here we are, like Jonathan and I send him all Christmas cards every year. We chat and text, you know, when things happen with us or our castmates, we are still in communication. And to have him as a friend, actual friend of mine, is just incredible. Like, I just love name dropping him, but I also love having him as my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody in your life. That's awesome.
He's my boo.
We're going to jump to the other, I mean, you have many things. Like I said, the other one that I was even watching a video over the past week. What was it like to be on the Drew Barrymore show?
I love Drew. Okay. Another pinch me moment. I think I have them all the time. But, you know, we've all grown up with Drew Barrymore. Who hasn't? E.T.?
Yes.
And, like, I just, you know, you never know what to expect when you meet a celebrity, especially from that level. Man, you know, when you look in someone's eye and it's just like, oh, that's you, and you're you, and you're just as fucking normal as everybody else.
Yeah.
She is that. And it was just incredible. And she's so kind and thoughtful and just loving and just as good as you hope she is when you
meet. Yeah. No, I love her social media. So it's good to hear that, like, in real life, it's just as authentic as what we're seeing.
Yeah, online. It is.
So we're going to
I've met a lot of celebrities. I want to say that too. You know, being on Fab Life, which was my talk show on ABC, another pinch me moment, by the way. We can go into that another time. But I've met a lot of celebrities. And you know what? They're all very, very nice. You know, I remember the very first day I sat on the stage with Tyra Banks and Chrissy Teigen and Joe Z. Yeah. And again, I'm like a little old black girl from Oklahoma. What the hell am I doing here? How did I get here? You know? And I was just thinking to myself, like, oh my God, like, they're so rich and famous and da 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 da, you know? Mm-hmm. And I realized they're just humans. They're just people just like you and me, you know? They still put their pants on one leg at a time and they still have the same problems we got.
Right.
And the same joys, you know, the same highs and the same lows. So it's just when you take away the labels, they're just regular people. And I think that there's a real, like, special human connection, you know?
Yeah, which is why you're so good at what you do.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this. You know, how do you feel like you've been able to really successfully position yourself in the interior design industry as a Black woman? What traits do you think, you know, helps connect you with viewers? I know you like to call yourself the homegirl next door. Let's talk about that a little bit.
I think that's a real testimony to my personality. Like, when I think of a homegirl, it's someone you can call to like get into a hot nightclub or get out of jail.
And to have some real talk.
Yeah. And I think that what happens when I connect with people is that we just become friends, you know, and there's a real like human connection, you know. I think that's really important. And like, so the fact that, you know, I actually work in people's homes and create homes for them, but I'm also a friend, and I, you know, I connect with them on the level that they're at is just real testimony to like my personality. But, you know, in terms of being a Black woman in design, I think that, you know, it's just a really unique time in the world where our talents are being recognized.
Yes.
I think it's really important to note that, like, for many generations prior to this one, Black women were the homemakers for everybody. And I come from a long line of Black women who made other people's homes. And that's where I get my talents. You know, I can remember very vividly being with my great grandmother, watching her make the beds and like learning how to tuck the ends in. And like, even my grandmother was a housekeeper for many years, and she taught me how to like take care of the home.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean that in the ways of like how to clean it the right way, what products to use, how to like do the laundry the right way, how to like make the beds and fluff the pillows, and what it takes to be a homemaker. So I think that now our talents are being championed because we've been doing it for so long.
It's true. I remember my great grandmother, you know, she would take Coca-Cola and I would watch her take that with baking soda and clean things as a child. I remember she taught me how to sew. My great grandmother did not play around with things. Like, you'd be like tears. She'd be like, zip it up. Girl, we got things to do today.
Which is the trauma. That's the trauma we're working on.
We're trying not to zip that up anymore. We're trying to let it out. But that was her era. And that was the time that she was in. And I'm like, okay, all right, grandma. Let's go.
But I mean, seriously, like when you think of it that way, it changes the game because it's like, I've been doing this for generations. So I'm like my ancestors' best.
Wildest dreams, right?
Yes.
It's all being recognized.
Yes. So then I really it takes a different toll for me when I consider those things, those values, those places that they've been, because I take it a lot more seriously and also appreciate it. What they passed on, like, this is the culmination of all of their labor and hard work, that I get to present it in a way that it's appreciated, that it's recognized, and that people, you know, resonate with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about, how are you doing all of this as a mom, as a wife? You know, what's your support system to kind of get it all done?
Oh, well, undeniably my husband.
Okay.
He is the greatest strength I have. Like, he really is. I had a frustrating day yesterday, and I woke up this morning and there was a lovely letter written on my mirror. And I just think to myself, like, God, I married the right one. And, you know, he is just the most amazing human being I've met, because he works through me with it. You know, this is not an easy business to be in. I work weird, long, unusual hours. I'm gone for awkward amounts of time, you know, and my husband holds it down financially, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
I always say to my husband, every year we're renewing the lease at our anniversary. So this is good. This is a good recording that he can hear all this.
There you go.
Like, remember all this love and stuff I said, it was recorded too.
There you go. Exactly. This is a memento. But you know what? I mean, like, we have a great village. It's him, but it's also, you know, the people who support him and support us and our relationship and our children. So that's how I do it. And then prayer.
Yeah.
Angela, you know, like, I'm not a very spiritual person. I mean, excuse me, not a very religious person. I have never been, but more recently I recognized the power in just that meditative state of just asking for the things that I need from God and the universe. And like, it just comes together. I can't even deny it any longer. It's so real.
No, it's true. I do agree with that. I actually have I've talked to a few other people where we've been talking a little bit more about that. Even my financial plan, I was a little surprised. And he was like, I don't want to get into too deep. He's like, but my wife and I have started praying together. And he's like, and things have started to fall into place. And he's like, I'm not advocating for you to do it today. He's like, but I'm just saying, he's like, that meditative state, focusing on what do I want and what do I need?
Yes.
He's like, and I'm finding that the things that I need are falling into place. And I thought that was very interesting because you're like, oh man, we're talking about money. But he's like, I'm talking about my life, like what I need. He's like, is it falling into place? And I was like, be a new perspective. All right.
Angela, let me tell you, I mean, I don't know how long this podcast goes. I can get deep here in a minute. But like, I don't know if you know, but I quit drinking 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. And it was during the pandemic. You know, for me, I told you I was the life of the party. Things got turned up during the pandemic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like, right.
My relationship with it just changed because I would drink at 8 a.m. and it was totally normal. Everybody was doing it.
Right, you know? Right.
And I realized there was one day and I was, you know, very anxious, as I think everyone was. And I was, you know, frustrated and all of the things, all of the emotions, right? And I was overwhelmed. And I sat down and I was like, God, just please help me. Like, I was like, please just tell me what to do. Like, help me, you know? And it was the first time I'd ever really like just sat down and said that. And clear as day, Angela, I'm not even, this is just my testimony. Like, I don't talk to myself ever like this, but I heard a voice say, how do you expect me to work through you if you're not clear-headed to hear the message or to use it, right? And I was like, what? Like, seriously, that's not my self-talk, right? And so I was like, and it was just like, what do you expect me to do if you can't get yourself together?
Right.
And I was like, right. And it was so clear and so obviously not me that I had to listen.
Yeah, you had to listen.
I had to. And I didn't want to give up. Drinking was my best friend. It was my my soft teddy bear, you know? But I did. And in that, I've had a different experience with my higher power because I recognize that there's something bigger than me. I like the idea of knowing that there's something bigger than me, and I've seen it. It's evident. It's evident in my experiences since then. So I would say to you or anyone who's listening, like, my method has been prayer, because it is definitely just takes me out of myself for a minute.
Yeah.
And it helps me to just believe bigger. So that's what I would say.
Before we even, because we do have a little bit more time, I did want to talk about, I saw this as well, that you had also this huge weight loss transformation.
Girl, hello.
What the Lord is that? Because it was like you basically lost a person. What was that about?
70 pounds, Angela, from cutting out drinking. You think I still eat, like, okay. I had a donut on the way in here.
You're like, we needed to cut that out. That's crazy.
It was a bear claw, actually, to be very frank with you. Like, girl, I can't believe it. I feel like those were just the empty calories that I was drinking, right? Like, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been insane. That fell off for me. So, and I also think like inflammation, this must be a testimony to how much water weight I was carrying.
Having the children, all those other things that added on.
All of that is another possibility. But still, I mean, 70 pounds, I didn't even try. I
That's
lifted
crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But so, it's also life-changing.
It is. And now I'm just not drinking because the vanity of it all, right?
Well, right. You're like, well, now I look too good. I don't need that champagne.
That's right. But I can also realize that it's not serving me any longer. You know, I'm a 40-year-old woman. I got 2 little boys. They're very, very active. They need a lot of attention. They need a lot of clarity. Sure. And I know, you know, you got 2 babies too.
They're crazy, but they do need you, and they need you to be present.
Yes. And so, and now it's just about like, well, and then it's also too, this really cool thing that I've been able to keep a promise to myself and like hold it.
Yeah.
So now, if someone else can't keep a promise to me, I don't get as upset because I know I can keep my own promises to myself. And it's the first time in my life, Angela, that I've ever done that. I mean, the diet always starts Monday.
I think this is great for people to hear and think about, you know, when you want to really change and go to a commitment. I'll be honest. I have been doing a weight loss program since November. Girl, I've been sugar-free, and I made it through Thanksgiving and Christmas. I was angry at Christmas, but I've gotten better, and I'm like, okay, I'm about 30 pounds down. Keep going.
Dang!
I know. I was like, man, sugar is real rough.
Well, alcohol is sugar too, right? Doesn't it metabolize?
It is. It's a sugar too. So you're like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I never liked sugar. I never liked any sweets. I wasn't a sweet person. I was like chips. But now I'm like, I got to have something sweet. So that must be.
It's all right. All right. We've gone into
cut out that sugar, diet,
interior design.
Yeah. One thing at a time, said the Lord. I just heard him say that. I hear you, Lord.
So for people who are watching and listening, like, Lauren, what is next on the horizon? How can people connect with you?
Next on the horizon, gosh, I don't even know. You know, there's so many things this year that are on my plate, and the beautiful thing is I get to choose. I feel like what a great opportunity.
A great place to be.
It is. So I'm excited about those things. So if you want to find out what's next,
yes,
you can always follow me on my social medias. I'm at Lauren Mack with 2 Ks, M-A-K-K.
All right. And Lauren, that's our interview.
It went by too fast. Have a good time, Angela.
Well, I hope you really enjoyed that episode and you feel ready to take on the world after listening to Lauren and I's interview. Also, if you want to learn more about her and it's just kind of like, I want to do something beautiful in my home and I frankly don't want to spend a lot of money, which I don't know who wouldn't want to do that, definitely go to her Instagram account. She has some fantastic reels and it's at Lauren Mack. That's LaurenMakk. And it is well worth the visit. I check out all the time getting some really great DIY that looks way more expensive than it is and fortunately takes very little time. You don't need to have all the power tools in the world to make those happen. As well, I want you to check out the Shoppable Mood Board, and you can also listen to the episode and share and subscribe with your friends and family at angelabelt.com/themoodboardpodcast. Thank you everyone for your continued support. I'm so excited to be back to the mic doing this. This was definitely my New Year's resolution, and I've been loving recording all of these great interviews over these past few months, and I'm so excited that you guys finally get to hear all of them. So we will be back every Monday, the Mood Board Podcast, with new episodes coming up. All right, take care. Bye-bye.